foot me. Well, foot me. Foot me.
Hello, foot nerds, and welcome to another Foot Me podcast, the pod aimed at the all of us mid-tier, mid-level, just plain mid-ultimate players. I'm your intrepid host, TJ, here to share my weekly experience with you and hope I'm making both of us feel a little better. And so let's begin today, because today is a very special episode, and not in the kind of after-school tragedy trauma broadcasting for my youth, but rather I have a guest, my coach, colleague, dare I say, my mate, Martin. Welcome. How are you doing today?
All good here in the UK. It's just got a little bit colder. Long day grinding YouTube videos and coaching sessions. But yeah, I've been giving you a poke now and again to get onto the podcast, and you've finally buckled and allowed me to come on here. So thank you.
yeah, move heaven and earth, but we made it happen. So friends of the pod certainly have heard me talk about you and the coaching service, and essentially like halfway through my the podcast season, I was like, you know, I got this, and then it just kind of changed, you know, everything started, you know, you got a YouTube channel. I was kind of curious, since I'm a teacher, I actually coach debate, talk about stuff like that. What is it that made you get into like coaching, teaching, you know, essentially foot?
So I'll try and condense it a little bit. Obviously, it's a question I get asked a little bit now. But so it started in COVID. Of course, a lot of people didn't have much going on. I was smashing out FIFA 20, I think it was. And I was heavily getting into squad battle stuff. And I was really getting high-end finishes. I'd always played very seriously. I think like FIFA 18... I was starting to get into like top 100 foot champs and stuff like that, but it just veered off. And then anyway, so FIFA 20 squad battles, and I started getting in like top five, I've come first in the world. And my brother actually said to me, he said, why don't you upload it to YouTube and do like a tutorial? He said, you've always taught me how to get better. Like, I reckon it'd do all right. And I was like, no, like no chance. But anyway, so we did it. And then obviously one video leads to two videos, to three videos. And I think probably like five or six videos in, I had a video that probably got like 1,000 views, and I got 100 subscribers in one hit. And they watched my tutorial like on how to beat Ultimate and just said that it was good. So the natural progression was just to keep going and keep going. And then it's been so many FIFAs now, but I think from FIFA 22, it's been like a full-time gig, the YouTube, and then the YouTube led into the coaching. I always knew that there was coaches out there. I started off with the squad battles, and I was pretty shocked, actually, at how many people got back to me, and then went to the online stuff, because at the end of the day, you don't have to be the best player in the world. If you know your stuff, and the bigger deal is being able to teach it to people and get the message across. And, you know, 3 years on, hopefully it's been going okay. And yeah, I'd like to think that I've got a lot better at it. I don't change my methods too much, but yeah, I suppose like anything, it just kind of snowballs and suddenly you think, oh, I'm here doing this. And that certainly wasn't the plan at the start, but yeah, here we are now.
Sure. Well, it sounds like, I mean, if your brother mentioned that you're helping him, like you just have a tendency, you know, I know we've talked about when you're like, you know, at Ipswich games, you're like, why aren't they doing this? And they need to be doing that. Like you just, it's, you're kind of drawn to like, hey, I can fix these things instead of like, you suck. So, you know, I can appreciate that. And, you know, I know you were talking about your YouTube and that kind of being how you got your start. And I see a lot of your videos talking about whether it's squad battles or tactics or whatever.
Yeah.
You talk about coins. Specifically, you have a particular sponsor that you talk about that in terms of doing that. I know I'm having a hard time even getting coins this year. There's only untradeable packs and nothing's coming out that I've been able to really, you know, and for all these SBCs, it's almost like you need more coins. What is that all about?
So I've got a really good sponsor called FIFACoin.com. And it's is what it says on the tin. So you can go to them and actually buy coins. I think a lot of people are worried about it. When they approached me, I was a little skeptical about it because it's always something that's been frowned upon. I think the last few years, a lot of people have started to accept it a bit more because they feel like EA are just trying to have them over with points and trying to suck money out of them, that they just basically think, screw EA. So yeah, I accepted the sponsorship to start off with, but I was a little bit reserved. But honestly, hand on heart, like, they have been amazing. I was worried because I had a lot of coaching clients that if I'm promoting this and somebody gets banned, that's what people are worried about. Let's not muck around with it. That's what people are worried about. And I didn't want coaching clients, subscribers, don't know, getting a bad reputation. But literally, that I haven't had anything negative come back from it. So it's just been positive, positive, positive. And so I've invested more time into it, more time to promoting it. And I would encourage anyone that wants more coins, more players, more fun, just go and buy coins. Now, the difference is, if you follow their instructions, they know what they're doing. Like, they've been around for ages, years and years and years. If you just try and transfer some coins off of your mate that wants to sell a million coins, that's not going to work. But if you follow their methods and do what they say, you'll be absolutely fine. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper. And also, it's more transparent. If you're willing to spend $50 because you want your favorite player, that's what you're going to get. If you spend $50 on some packs, you just don't know what you're going to get. So yeah, it's FIFACoin.com. And if you use my code, Martin, you get a 5% discount. But also, they've got a live chat to ask them any questions. And they've got like 20,000 reviews on Trustpilot or something. So yeah, but I think people, you have to do your homework with who you use, but not even just them, but there are companies out there that have been going for a long time. You just got to think, if they've been doing it for that long, like, they're doing something right. So yeah, they're brilliant. And yeah, I'm signed up with them for quite a while, so I'm quite happy with that.
Well, I would imagine, as long as, A, you don't need to be spending just boatloads of money on items in this game. So if you do it every day and we're getting too much, I would imagine those things set up more of the red flags, and they probably have information about that so that they know, like, you know, you aren't doing it all the time. And, you know, it's one of those kinds of deals. So it's been impossible to amass coins in this game. And about the time you get it, then you don't want to spend them because you know you can't get them.
Well,
so.
EA don't want you to have coins anymore. Like, clearly, most people's, back in the day, I'm just saying, even like 3 or 4 years ago, you'd have one or two untradeable players, SBCs. Now they don't want you to have any. Yeah. Like, even with like the rivals rewards, they'll gear it so heavily towards the untradeable rewards so that you're almost stupid if you pick the tradable ones. Literally, apart from foot champs and some squad battles rewards, everything else is untradeable, unless, of course, you buy their points and their packs, which of course is
obviously most of those are available now too.
Well, yes, they're putting it that way, and honestly, that's why I think
players. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
I think that's why more and more people are starting to buy coins, because they're just thinking enough's enough. Like, how else am I supposed to get them? So yeah, no,
well,
I agree.
At some point, if they adjusted, then people would be more than happy to do. But if you're not getting value for it, then why would you? But And to be honest, this is the kind of week. This is, you know, this is a part, you know, it seems like we're to a bit where, you know, why I need coins and what's been going on this week. And oh my gosh. So I guess we'll go ahead and transition into.
Hey, how you doing?
And how I am doing this week has been very roller coastery. The first part of the week, and I even reached out to you, was all like, you know, hey, you know, started the week at like the beginning of 6 and made it right in there before our session, and was halfway through 6. Had gotten kind of in a slog, but I redid the team, and like, I was like, oh, it worked out great. And bam, just cruised up there. And since getting to the halfway point on 6, it has been an absolute just shift. Like, I'm not talking like I'm losing games, like, you know, 1-2 and 3-4. Like, I'm just getting thumped. There's a few of where I'm just like, you know, quitting. Like, I'm like, you know, how is everybody so much better all of a sudden? I don't want to blame it on the patch because, I mean, I read parts of it, but I don't think that has much to do with it. I think there's probably a number of things at play here between folks that got the game are now getting up into that division. So some of those good folks that, you know, were a week or two behind are now getting up into there. So you're running into more of that. The teams I'm playing against, like, there are some, you know, loaded, but like the 91 Modrics of the world with like a, you know, special KDB and whatever else. And, you know, it's like, if y'all weren't winning against my team, I guess I would feel bad for you a little bit. And, you know, just also people are getting used to, I think, some of the technical bits. They're finding some, you know, tactics, which maybe we'll talk about at some point. They're, you know, the swarming defense kind of thing that you deal with in Division Six. I know once you get up into three and two and everybody kind of like, oh no, everybody's good. But in a situation where we're at, it's just everybody's flying around. It looks like the kind of soccer I played when I grew up, and we called it soccer, where it's just like a cluster and you're trying to kind of get out of there. And so, you know, I've done lineup changes. I fell in. I did the hero pack, right? When that came out, I was like, oh, maybe this is my salvation. But come to find out, I don't think Alexander Mostovy, or however you say his name, is going to do it. I tried it, but he was not the answer. I was playing I went with higher ratings, so I ended up putting like Diaz in the back, and I've seen some people using him and beating me with him. But then he was getting kind of like, just there were these times in which the center backs were like nowhere to be found. It was just wide open, stuff that never happens when I'm on that side of the pitch. But I'm back to put, I put Kalulu back in there. I ended up packing Son, so now I'm trying to get some Premier links going on. So I've got Ben Saka, like, you know, there on the right. So I feel like I've got a couple of weak links in spots, but that is not the reason that I'm unable to, like, you know, kind of execute the game plan. And so I don't know if it's, you know, on my part, which, you know, we'll have our session on Wednesday. And you'll,
I was going to say, it sounds like I've got my work cut out this week.
Well, it could be. It's also like, you know, that's Saturday and Sunday, you know, and I know I record a lot of my stuff on Mondays or Tuesdays. And so I don't know if like the time of day and who I'm playing against, but, you know, and it's not like I'm not winning at all. I've gotten a couple of run-ins to get to that next to last checkpoint to get all the way up to five. So it hasn't been just complete, you know, whatever. But it has been the first time I've reached that wall of sorts. And so I'm just kind of trying to figure that out, as you know, because it's not necessarily, and some of these are like, I'm either getting surrounded by three folks, which I'm like, how do you do that? I'll get, you know, they'll get sandwiched by someone who's just really good on the stick and can like just shut me down there. Or, you know, it's, you know, even when you pass the ball to the other side, this whole like mass just kind of seems to go right back over with it. It's hard to find, you know, those areas. And then I've always struggled in the final third. So that is still a game when everybody's like, oh, defense is hard and scoring's easy. I'm still like, you know, liars. So as I am kind of, you know, fighting through there, you know, I know, like I said, this is how we kind of go. I'll show up and either be like, things went okay, or like, this happens. With that in mind, and I know a lot of people are frustrated in a lot of things, and we're looking at tactics and formations and player, like, what do you think, like, in a nutshell, how can you fix everybody's, like, you know, game right now? Real quick, go.
So I think at the moment, obviously, you got to keep things simple, particularly unless you've put a load of money on the game, your likelihood is that you've not got an amazing team, right? So you really have got to understand the drawbacks in every different position. You might have a couple of centre backs that are very good at defending and physically they're great. Their passing could be horrific. Make sure that you're keeping it simple when you're passing. Your strikers, one of them might have a 3-star weak foot. You know, just understand that if you are going to take it on their weak foot, maybe it's not going to work for you. Also, the play styles. Really look at the play styles that your players have. I think that I've noticed this in coaching sessions I've done with people, because it's a new thing. Some people have kind of just brushed it to one side and thought, well, I don't really understand it, so I'll just pretend it doesn't matter. It does matter a lot. You mentioned that you've got Son. We've spoken about this about in different scenarios inside the box using different finishes. If you've got a forward player with a play style plus Travella, you need to know that and know what their good foot is and use it. Like we've seen that with you with Dybala. Now you've got Son. I'll definitely be on to you about using that finesse shot in certain places. So there's that. And then formation wise, don't try and reinvent the wheel. Yeah. It doesn't matter who it is, what YouTuber, a pro player, whatever. Like you can't just copy their tactics and expect them to work for you. And probably where like you guys are at advantage, obviously having me coach you, I can tell you what you're good at and what you're not good at. Okay. But you've really got to just use a formation and a tactic that works for you. And even if like you don't have coaching, just think like, what type of player am I? Like, what am I good at? Yeah. There's no point having two massive strikers and, you know, think that you're going to put crosses in if that's not your game and you're a tiki-taka like player. You know, try and think about it. You know, that's a big deal. So because you're dealing with a new game, lesser players, the last thing that you need to do is start playing with a formation tactic that you've never used before because some YouTuber has put it up. I put a lot of tactics up on my channel, but I'll always try and explain this is the type of formation if you're like this. So I like 4-3-1-2. I say this is the type of formation if you want to take the game to your opponent. Have lots of fun, score lots of goals, put them under lots of pressure. If that's not you and actually you're quite timid and you like a lot of possession, then something like a 4-2-3-1 is going to work well for you. And I would stick to the more traditional formations as well. So yeah, I could go on all day, you know I can, but yeah, I would I'd just leave it at that at the moment. So understand your players, understand what they can do, and try and find a formation that really suits yourself at the moment while you're still getting to grips with the new game basically.
Yeah, I know that 4-2-3-1, and a lot of people talk about meta, of course, it just means the most effective tactics available. But again, like you said, if you're know that you like to play through the middle and stuff like that, then, you know, a narrow formation, watching those makes sense versus watching other formations where they're talking about playing on the edges and doing stuff out there. Also, personnel, like one of the reasons that I switched, like, so I started using the 88s that everybody gets, right? Silva, Bruno, like, it's like, it doesn't matter, like, however, it seems like everybody has them. I see them in a number of the teams that I play against. So, you know, we're talking about folks with 70 pace in the midfield, which typically we're like, oh, pace is king. And I got to be honest, like, up until, like, you know, halfway through Division 6, I was getting away with more of that, right? Where it seems like, you know, now we're seeing a bit more of, you know, folks that are, you know, go with more of like speed in all of those positions and then are able to get the most out of that because we know that, you know, speed is difficult. I know the jockey thing has come up in terms of the defense, in terms of like the new patch notes, but it really seems like, but if you're not a person who plays fast, then like having to like, you know, deal with that, I know can be, you know, extra hard.
Either way, you're going to still want pace in your team. I've had this discussion a lot because some people have said that pace doesn't matter anymore. A lot of people can exaggerate. You're always going to prefer to have a quick player than a slow player. You know, it's just how it is. You'd rather your player be strong than weak. It's just how it is, you know. So for me, pace is always going to be key. It always has been and it always will be. But pace isn't just get the ball, run past an opponent. Like pace can be, you know, just gobbling up that first 5 yards and then you're playing it, you know. And also outside of players, pace is up here, you know, the quickness of your mind that creates you that time and that space that, you know, allows that player to, you know, sprint 5 yards and stuff like that. I think when you talk about pace, everyone just thinks, ah, I'm going to get it and just run past the whole team, which of course isn't viable.
Well, you know, when we were talking, I told you that I'd started playing chess again. I use that very term loosely because I'm not very good at it. And it's one of those things I'm better at reacting than predicting. And I figure that's one of it. And a lot of it, I think, you know, is identifying patterns. And people that are really good at being able to identify patterns or complex ones and how to start them. Because I know we talk a lot about, like, put everybody on a run, get them on runs. And it's just like when you start doing those runs and you do them in a certain order and you start to see a pattern and then you start to see like how they're going to react to it. And then it becomes like, oh, this is easy. And I feel like that happens to me a lot, right? Like these dudes that are like putting in like 6-7 goals, it's just like, oh, they go boop, boop. And I'm all like, why isn't my player doing anything? And I know it's as much that as it is they know like the spots in the pan, the things to do it. Because the difference between triggering a run when the ball's in the air versus triggering it once it's landed to somebody has just a giant, and it's just a matter of fractions of seconds. And so that's why, you know, sometimes I think when we take a break and then come back, then those things, we get more kind of in tune to that. The idea, I know we talk about being on good form, poor form, things along those lines. So it's a constant strength that you play a lot to think, well, if I play a lot of games, well, then I'm going to see this pattern a lot. But then it almost feels like I guess there's so much of it, you get lost, and then you're just kind of, we always used to say, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees in debate a lot. Like that, if you're in a debate round, you're thinking about what's going on, you're not really thinking about how everything interacts. And then if you're the judge of the debate, you have to see how that all interacts, and it can really change the way, you know, a kid or a person sees the way debate works because they can step back. And so I think that's one of the things that coaching has been for me. Like I could, you know, put aside a couple hours and watch like gameplay that I did and be able to be like, oh, well, that was dumb. Oh, well, that was dumb. But having like, you know, a knowledgeable set of eyes to do that, especially since I don't know that much about soccer and football to begin with. And then that starts to really help, not like, oh, because I was, you know, I don't know, like the first thing about, like, you know, I can watch on Saturdays and Sundays, and I enjoy watching football, but I, you know, in terms of knowing like strategically, what are they doing or what can they be doing there? You know, that's where I think, you know, having you there has been a great help.
And it's repetition, isn't it? That's the biggest thing that we talk about. And you asked, to help everyone out, a few guidelines. Don't chop and change everything. Try and get into a routine. Repetition is key, because when it becomes muscle memory and habit, that's when you start doing things quicker. And when it's being done quicker, that's when your opponent can't handle it, because they can't go at the pace that you're going at. You know, when I tell people that you need to play at speed and at pace, you know, it only, one, that doesn't mean just get it and run with it. And equally, that doesn't mean just get it and just press pass. You need to know where you're going with it. And it's hard. It's hard to play at a quick pace and in a controlled manner. But that's why it needs to become natural. And that's with the patterns that obviously you're talking about. I did just want to say something which probably would be saved for our session. You said about form. Yeah. So, like, you've been really good the first few weeks, and I was complimenting you a lot, and the problem is that you always know that then round the corner there is a little dip of bad form. And yeah, if you couple a little bit of bad form with sounds like some of the teams being quite tricky to play against,
five at the back is like, that's also weird for me this year. Usually five at the back shows up middle to later. Like you need some, like, you know, better center backs usually pop around, things like that. I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you care at all about pro stuff, but that they banned five at the back for, you know, all of their tournaments and none of the three at the backs, which are fundamentally five at the backs. Which I just think it's, you know, I wonder if it's something different built about the game, or if it's just because everybody's like, oh, it's hard defensively, so they decided to do it. But man, it's been a slog against some of those, I'll tell you.
Well, we have done a session about how to play against different formations. We'll keep that under our hat.
No, I try. Like, I'm not, I'm just, and even though, and you can, like you said, you know, that Mike Tyson quote, you know, have a game plan till you get smacked in the mouth kind of a thing, or, you know what you're trying to do, but they also know what you're trying to do. So they're trying not to let you do those types of things. And it's always, you know, that kind of, you know, bit, who can be more patient and technical. And man, with passing with some of the players, when you talk about a little bit of a gap in terms of whether it's the power curve or whatever, like, you know, they get on the wrong foot and they try to, you're giving away a goal instead of like, you know, that's who I'm passing to. And so, you know, that kind of element, I've tried to let, you know, that's part of the joy of the game, and we're going to get better. And we, you know, when it then pulls out, it's, you know, it makes it even, you know, but yes, there's been some of that for sure.
But knowing you, this is what happens. And then next week you'll be like, oh, I'm in Division 5. You always do this to me.
Well, I mean, so, it's
yeah, say it's not going very well, and then bang, the next week, flying.
Well, and, you know, and I know you're not a big fan of weekend league. I don't talk a whole lot about it. Like, I've done some qualifiers mainly because I was looking at doing this stupid Rodrigo, and I was like, how else am I going to get packed? So I need to like do these silly things. So, you know, I guess it's working, EA. But I'm like 1-4. I don't know if I'm even going to qualify, but I'm like, I'll get some packs, whatever. You know, I know I mainly stick with divisions. I know we talk a lot about why, you know, why do you think rivals, you know, I know it's fun to, like, a lot of folks talk about, you know, well, champs is nice because you're going to play some people less than you, and it's a lot more casual and things like that. I find it to be a lot more almost stressful and more difficult, and we spend a lot more time in rivals. What is it that pushes us to go more towards rivals than worry so much about weekend league?
Well, you're definitely more suited to rivals. I've said this to you before, where you've been in divisions up to Division 3, it doesn't marry up with what you get into weekend league. And because it is slightly different, weekend league is a cup competition. You can't draw. You're either going to win or you're going to lose. You know, there can be different approaches. The game management can be different. But from a coaching point of view, which I prefer seeing rivals games, because you've got a much better idea of the standard of your opponent. Because if you show me a few recordings of weekend league, either where you've been very successful or maybe you haven't been very successful, I'm sat there thinking, this guy could be two divisions above you and he's just not, you're not on his level. Or, yeah, terrific, you've won 5-0, but, you know, this guy clearly isn't that great. We're not learning anything from this. So it just doesn't give a very good representation of where you're at, or, and also it doesn't give a very good reputation of how you're doing with stuff that we've just been working on, you know? So yeah, that's why I prefer a right. It's not that I don't like weekend league, it's just from a coaching point of view.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I guess if you're good at it, you do well and you get good stuff from that. Like, you know, I know you play a lot more squad battles. I've been grinding it a little bit here or there. So, you know, that's why there are all these different modes, so that, you know,
well,
whatever we
dip my toe into everything.
For sure. And I imagine, you know, everybody that you work with has, like, you know, whatever they're trying to get better at. Plus, I mean, if you fundamentally get better at the game, you're going to do better in all of the things.
Yeah.
There are little nuances, I'm sure, within particular modes. We've never talked about, like, the trips and tricks to, like, being, like, ultimate and stuff like that in terms of squad battles. You know, most of all of ours is, you know, about my obsession with trying not to feel like an idiot for spending as much time playing this game as I do. So I need to get better at it. And so that's where, you know, it's really played out. And, you know, like I said, our sessions, I know most of them are definitely where I'm recording and then we're watching stuff. I know we're going to have some live sessions. We've done one before. We're looking at, you know, doing some of those others. Just real quick, we're kind of getting towards the end of it. What is the difference? I know some people only do live sessions. Others do record. Like, what is it? Like, I thought your version of us watching the recording together and how that kind of goes, you know, the first time going into that, you know, didn't really know how that was going to go, but have really liked it. Like, what kind of prompted you to kind of go more in that direction than the other, and when you do, you know, those types of things?
So obviously this is my third year of coaching, so I've learned across the off way the different approaches. So watching the gameplay back together is key. Yeah, so I use Discord to do it. I can share the screen. We can both look at the recording. I can stop it, show stuff, slow it down, as of course you know. And it's all about visuals. Words, just, it's not enough. And that's why, like with YouTube videos or comments, you can chat and chat and chat and chat. You need to see it. And what I like to do is obviously go through the recording, and then I will have something in my back pocket to show you the right way. Might be from a more experienced player. It might be from footage that I've got, so that you've got a visual of how it's supposed to be done. That being said, live sessions work very well too. But you can't just do live sessions and equally just watching the recordings. It's better to have a mixture, because when you're doing the live sessions, it's not a case of me saying, oh, pass left, pass right, shoot. It's very much a case of trying to train you to think of stuff that's happening in the game. Right, what formation is he playing, TJ? I don't know. Right, he's playing 4-2-3-1. What does that mean? Like, right, he's got one up front. Right, you're going to have more time at the back. The full backs are your out ball. Stick with it. You know, and then I'll shut up for a little while, you know. Or I'll say, look, you're losing the ball way too much inside of your own half. Like, that's gonna bite you in the backside at some point, you know. Or he's keeping the ball a lot. Make sure that you don't just give it straight back. Well, he's getting very frustrated. We can see he's slide tackling a lot. You know, he's diving in. He's giving the ball away rashly. Play on it. Play on it. You know, get the rage quit. All that type of stuff. So it's almost like a different set of skills, or a different like type of coaching that you can get from that. So I like to do the odd live session as well. So yeah, I just think that it works well. Like, I don't like the playing with somebody. I don't see how that can help, to be honest with you. So yeah, I think that sitting down and reviewing is much better.
Yeah, it's like having a film room session with your coach, and then it's like, you know, he's on the sideline yelling at you to get back, you know, and those types of things, as if you're on the sideline. Like, two very different kind of circumstances, but both of them, you know, the information you're providing, you know, gets just, you know, and there's different ways that you're engaged in that.
Yeah. And the other thing that I prefer with the sitting down and sharing the screen is that, you know, we can go through tactics. We can go through players on the various websites. You know, we can build teams together. Like, it doesn't just have to be about the gameplay, you know. So
recaps, yeah, not just, you know, highlights and lowlights.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, we don't go through team that much, but certainly, you know, within the last few weeks, we've talked to team a bit more than what we would do normally. And some people might think that's a waste of time, but if I'm giving a set of instructions or telling you a way to play or what I want you to do, I need to make sure that you've at least got the tools to do it, or it's a waste of time and money for everyone. And of course, I don't want that at all.
Well, and that's the kind of stuff that, you know, like, oh, you would do better with this kind of player here versus, you know, but everybody says this is the best
season. Yeah.
Like, yeah, but not for what we're doing in terms of that. And then if nothing else, try it. And if it does work or doesn't, like, well, maybe that one's not the right one, but there's something in between those two. And so it's, you know, that those kind of directions and stuff like that for personnel have definitely, you know, paid off. Also kept me from spending coins or wasting a lot of coins here or there, because it's all like, hey, do we think this would be good? Like, you know, not, I know you're first one to say that you're not in trading and stuff along those lines, but in terms of just like, would this be good for us, that you're always really good for that. So I appreciate it. So yeah. And that's the other thing, is that with, you know, the Discord, you have your own Discord channel or the group or whatever, Martin88's Discord, being able to ask questions in there, reach out to you directly, stuff like that, just kind of update, seeing where everybody else is doing. It's, you know, it's not a gigantic Discord, which I like too. It's, you know, it's a nice kind of, you know, group of folks, and it's not just a whole bunch of spam and stuff going on there. It's very, you know, topical. And so that's also been a nice, you know,
bit. Everybody that has coaching gets to talk to each other. So I actually think that that's quite cool, because certainly when people first start off, a lot of other people will be like, oh, don't worry about it. We've all been there. You'll get better. And obviously it's good, because, you know, thankfully I've got quite a few nice testimonials in there as well. So for new people, they can have a little read to see, you know, what they,
yeah, or they can even reach directly out to somebody. Because I mean, everybody, you know, they're concerned with like AI bots, you know, telling me all my Amazon stuff is good and everything else. You know, it's like there's actual people like that will tell you, hey, here's how that kind of goes. So, well, I guess as that is a good kind of transition bit as we get here at the end is, you know, if someone is getting a session or wants to get a session, you know, what does that entail? Like, are they packages? You know, how do we reach out? How much are, you know, rates, stuff like that?
Yeah. So unfortunately, it's not free. I think some people do think that. But it's not, you know, this is my job.
YouTube's are, I mean.
Yeah, YouTube is free, yes.
Smash a like, you know.
Yeah. So for the coaching, it's £35 for a two-hour session. I never do a one-hour session, as you know. That's just not enough time to, it's just a waste of time, effort, money for everyone. So it's £35 for a two-hour session. It's done via Discord. I will obviously require you to have some gameplay for us to review. We will go through it, and then I will always give two or three things that I will want you to work on. We'll write them down in some session notes on the Discord. You'll go away, work on them, and then once you have your next session, we would go through them and see where you're at and develop it. I use the same methods, same technique with everybody, as you know. So they're pretty tried and tested, to say the least. And it's really like building a house. It's the foundations, and we build it up. The next thing always leads on, you know, in a nice order. So yeah, just get in touch with me. The email address is martainfootball88@gmail.com for the coaching. And obviously, like you just said, we've got the YouTube channel, which is Martain88, where I've got loads of tactics on there, squad builders, you know, tutorial stuff. It's just educational stuff, really. So yeah, if you want to come and check me out, feel free to hit me up.
You know, as someone, I like I said, I coach kids in doing debate, and it may not know just how elaborate that is, but we have summer camps that are available. We call them institutes because they really aren't camps. They go stay like on a college campus, and they range from 2 week camps, well, 1 week, 2 week camps, to the longest one is like 7 weeks long. And I'll tell almost all my students, if you're going to go for 1 week, you need to go for three, because by the time you get a week into it, you're just now, you've scratched the surface and stuff like that.
Yeah.
After doing a couple of 1 hour sessions with other folks, the 2 hours is a game changer to be able to ask the questions and go over that. And then I know a lot of people might even be intimidated by like, well, how am I supposed to record gameplay? Like, if you have a Twitch channel, or not a Twitch channel, if you have a Twitch, so you watch people and you've got a thing, then, you know, you automatically have that. And then you just link that up and hit record, start, and play some games and hit stop. And, you know, you go on
PlayStation or Xbox. It's very easy.
Yeah, so it's not even like, you know, like back in the day, you'd have to like, you know, get OBS and grab a couple things and link some stuff together. And so, you know, and to be honest, like, you know, our recording of a recording, you know, it's not the crispest of it you need, but you don't need it to be able to be like, here's what's going on. You don't have to have it at like 1080p. So, yeah, it's changed my, you know, my excitement for, you know, the game and being able to get better at it. You know, I know people that play golf have like golf instructors and people that do everything. You know, like if it's a hobby that you're worth doing it. And for me, I made the decision last year to be like, if I'm going to spend money, I'd rather spend it on me getting better than me making sure that EA folks have summer homes. And so I guess I might, you know, start helping, you know, some coin sellers at least, you know, upgrade their condos or something along those lines, you know, to, you know, this year, the way things are going. But so far, I have nothing but, you know, awesome things to say, you know, I will about what we've been able to accomplish. And continue to do, and it's definitely been worth it. So thank you so much for all of your help with that and for coming on. This is, you know, huge. You made me like, you know, go out of my comfort zone
for a
way to like bring a guest on, and I think it's gone okay. Both of us are still here, nothing's blown up, and you know, we haven't gotten to, you know, post, but it seems like a all in all pretty successful bit. So any last minute shout outs or words of wisdom or anything before we go ahead and kick this pig?
Two things. One word of wisdom is, it's still October. Just calm down, settle down. Just let yourself get used to the game. Like, everyone's been very, very serious and stressful, I feel. Like, just, it's not even been out for a month yet. Just chill out, it'll be fine. And one little shout out for my little boy, James. I know that he'll be watching when you upload it. So, hello, buddy.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I got to say, of all the times, all the ways to end this, you know, typically I'm just all like, when everything's getting you down, just, you know, foot me. But there's nothing, I mean, hey, there's nothing here to foot me. So hopefully, you know, this foot we was a great way. And I look forward to speaking with you on Wednesday and trying to get better. So
good stuff.
Thanks, Martin. Yep. Talk to you soon.
See you later.